What an asshole!
Podcasting from Bass Hole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Bass Hole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
Hey, what's up, bassholes? It's Doug Bass. Welcome to I'm a Basshole, the podcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening to wherever you get your podcast fix. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Click the thing here. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where the full videos are. You're really going to want to watch the videos, all right? Because we got a whole thing here, and it's just part of the show. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Don't forget to follow our bassholes that are in studio today. We got Rob DeRocha at Robbie DeRoach and CJ Aviles at CJ Aviles on Instagram and all the social media outlets and whatnot. My name is Doug Bass. You can follow me at Doug Bass Comedy, of course. We got a fun show today. We're live again. We'll see what happens. Our guest today is comedian and podcaster Ian Ira Russo. He's here in the studio. So we got Rob and Ian here. What's up, guys? How's everyone doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Ian. Thanks for coming into the studio. Appreciate it. What's new with you?
Right now, God, I don't know when this gets released, but on Friday...
It's released right now.
Oh, it's released now. Whoa.
So watch what you say, because I listened to the last podcast, and I was defending people that I can get canceled for, because, you know, like, I don't even want to talk about it
anymore. Rob is already canceled. He said things on the last podcast.
Don't talk about my Michael Richards moments.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Well, Ian is a stand-up comedian. We're going to get into interviewing Ian a little bit. We'll just put this out there. He's recording his first hour special entitled Sorry Again.
Yes.
On April 23rd.
Yes.
In Queens, New York City, right?
QED Astoria. I'm recording my debut comedy album.
It's your debut, but it's called Sorry Again. It was your first album. So this is your debut. There wasn't an album just called Sorry.
No. Louis got that one.
That bassist covered.
Oh, wow. The third will be Sorry Again.
I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for this whole thing. Yeah. It's good to have you here. Thanks for coming in. CJ's here as well over there. I have a camera for him somewhere, but I don't know where it is right now. We'll get to it at some point.
it's quite all right. I look like crap.
Yeah, we know. He's sick. He has some kind of diarrhea thing.
No, it's a stomach.
We're
keeping him off the camera. Yeah,
diarrhea. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, before we get into Ian's story and Ian's world and whatnot, let's do a little news things.
You want to do some news?
We'll do a little news at the top. You know, we'll just cover a couple little weird stories, and you know, just to have a little lighter side of things.
Okay,
right?
Let's do it.
Why not?
Let's rock.
All right, let's talk about this just happened like today, or like I guess a little while ago. Amanda Bynes been placed on psychiatric hold. Did you hear about this?
Like
a couple minutes ago. So let's play a clip here. Let's see. You know Amanda Bynes, Ian? You know who she is?
Yes, I watched All That.
You were an All That fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
So wait, All That, and then she also was something Man or whatever. She the Man.
The Amanda Bynes or the Amanda Show?
She had an Amanda.
No, the movie with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, she was in a. She's the Man.
Yeah, yes. That was the first ever.
Channing Tatum, was he in that?
The main guy.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here's a clip from TMZ.
Just about a year since Amanda Bynes, almost to the day. That Amanda Bynes' conservatorship was dissolved. But we have some sad news to report. A story we just broke on the website about Amanda being put on a psychiatric hold after she was found downtown. She actually waved someone down and told them she was going through a psychiatric episode. I think that was probably obvious to whomever she waved down because she was completely naked.
Yeah, and then the
psychotic hold.
So she
episode. It's not psychiatric.
Is that a sad story there?
I just love how Harvey Weinstein looks so concerned.
Harvey Weinstein.
What's his name? Is it Weinstein?
No.
What's his name?
Harvey. Is it?
Harvey? Harvey what?
It's Harvey something, but it's not Weinstein.
Yeah. That's entirely, I just like how concerned he looks.
I feel like more people would be watching if Harvey Weinstein was hosting that TMZ.
Yeah, but
live from prison.
He just looks so concerned and such a horse shit because he's probably so happy to be first breaking this news right now.
Like, right.
No, he's just full of shit. I just think it's hilarious.
Anyway, this is sad. This kind of like, I mean, she's roaming around downtown LA naked, asking for help. Like, what is, like, how does that, yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, obviously, psychiatric craziness. I don't know what's going on with her, but I mean, her conservatorship just ended. So I'm wondering, when Britney Spears' conservatorship ended, she started getting naked on Instagram as well. Is that the thing that happens after conservatorships? You just start getting naked?
We live in a world now where I think people, like, especially like Britney Spears, like everyone fought so hard for her to end her conservatorship.
Right.
And then now we're looking at what's happening now and the decisions she's making. And she's so like half naked. She's doing like crazy videos. I mean, it's consistent. She's losing her mind in front of everyone, and
Amanda Barnes is taking after Britney. She's like, "Well, Britney's getting naked. I'm gonna get naked too, but I'm gonna do it in the real world, like, you know, just on the street."
Is that what you think she was thinking?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. It just seems like that's what happens when conservatorships end. Nudity follows for some reason. I don't know. Ian, what do you think? So you're an Amanda Barnes fan, right? Big fan.
To a degree, yes. I'm familiar with her body of work
and her body now.
Yeah. I don't want to come off too ignorant, but I have literally no idea what a conservatorship is.
Yeah.
I've only heard that in the context.
I've just
of
been learning
Spears.
About it. It's like, what the parents are in charge of, like
yeah,
what
someone's
she,
in
what
charge.
She puts out, right?
Yeah, or someone's guardian. Someone's in charge of your money and doesn't let you do whatever you want to do,
right?
Because you're fucking nuts. And yeah, you Britney bitch. Thank you, CJ. Right on cue.
Yeah, right.
I do feel for child actors who end up going into like they're not doing acting or anything as they grow up, and they have all this money, and they can't.
She just lost it though. She lost her mind, I think. Right?
Yeah,
that's fair to say. No.
I mean, she had a hard upbringing too. I mean, during
her parents were like crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's why. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And same thing with Britney.
You know? That's true. Yeah, they controlled like we can't. I think the fighting just started over like the money and stuff like that or whatever. I don't know.
Go ahead.
No. Yeah. The only thing I know about her upbringing is she got discovered when she was young. got discovered like she was doing stand up as a young teen at the Laugh Factory.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I did read about that. Yeah, she was doing stand up, and then she became sketch and did all that and all that stuff, and now she's walking around naked.
All I know from child actors growing up here in Los Angeles, I know that
Rob, you were a child actor, right?
No, I was not. I would be naked right now. I'm naked right now. Actually, the bottom half of me, I'm
naked
not wearing
and
pants.
Afraid. Yeah. We're actually afraid. Yeah. If you're naked.
I'm fascinated because occasionally I'll see a child actor at an open mic, like trying to get into the comedy world. Dude, there was a child actor I didn't meet. I don't remember his name. I just remember he was in the Goonies, and he got up.
The guy that just won the Oscar.
Round?
The guy who just won the Academy Award.
No, he did not win. He would not have been at the third wheel.
Which
if he
guy was he?
Oh,
I don't remember. I haven't seen the Goonies in many, many years.
Oh my god! All right.
But what did he look like in the Goonies?
What was his,
was he the chubby guy?
I don't even remember.
Was it Chunk? He's a lawyer now. Was it Sloth? Was it the guy who played Sloth? I would watch an open mic with the guy playing Sloth. That'd be pretty interesting.
I don't think that guy was real.
He was real.
He was real, but he wasn't. That wasn't really his face.
Oh, he didn't look like that?
No, he did not look like that. Typecasting.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope Amanda Barnes gets well. I mean, I'll just say that. I don't know.
All right. I don't.
Right now, she's acting like an asshole.
Is she acting like an asshole? She's not an asshole. I think.
I don't know.
I think what's happening.
She just needs help.
She needs help.
Yeah, she needs help. I don't think she's being an asshole. Sure. No.
No.
No one's like, hey, listen, naked lady, like, get away from.
Yeah,
me.
I don't think anyone's complaining. Yeah, yeah. Whenever there's a naked woman, no one really complains.
I feel like it's worse when, also when you're in the public eye going through this shit. Like,
yeah.
Like Scott Stapp from Creed was another one, and people were just sort of like making fun of it just because, it's a singer of Creed. And
did he go crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
With arms wide open. Oh,
yeah,
that guy?
Creed gets enough shit, though. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. All right. Well, Amanda Barnes, get well. That's what I'm going to say. All right. I don't know. That just happened. That just came out. So I was like, I feel like we should just talk about
no,
it.
I read about it this morning, but it's just, it's more like sad than anything else.
It is
it's
sad.
Like,
yeah,
I don't want to pick on somebody in that situation.
No, I'm not picking on her.
Just call her an asshole.
Well, you know. Get your shit together. Come on.
Don't come to Doug for hell.
I mean, if you want to come on this show and we can talk about it, I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah, like she's gonna.
You don't have to be nude to be on this show. I'm just stating that. Okay.
All right.
It's welcome, but it's not. You know,
she looks
mandatory.
Weird though. Does she look like she had a tattoo heart?
She has face tattoos now.
Does
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude! It's like as soon as you get a face tattoo, I think you just lost it. You just lost your fucking.
Unless
mind.
You're in a gang.
Even if you're in a gang, you're just letting really? Everyone know, like, you got a teardrop for what? That life, you know? Like, you don't need to fucking do that.
I don't know.
That's
Ian, do you have any tattoos?
I do not.
No? Would you ever think about getting one?
My parents have always been like, because I grew up in I had a very Jewish upbringing. Right. If you have a tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish prison.
Okay.
Or not cemetery.
Jewish prison.
That's called the Holocaust.
That was can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Are you very religious? Are you an active Jew? Like, do you go to a temple? Do you participating?
Before I moved to LA, I was going to synagogue on the high holy days.
Yeah.
I was never kosher.
Are you trying to network?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I've heard stories of I've thought about joining a synagogue here for no other reason than the community aspect.
Right.
But yeah, there's might definitely
run into some big people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you would never get a tattoo, mainly because it's against your religion, obviously, and you wouldn't be able to be buried in the Jewish cemetery.
Partially that, and partially because I don't know what I would want on my body for the rest
right.
of my
you
life.
Have to, you have to really yeah. think about what you would get, right? Yeah. Rob, you don't have a tattoo, do you?
I have no. zero tattoos.
CJ has a lot of tattoos.
I like how you asked him, like, is he Jewish? Because his middle name's Ira.
I know he's Jewish. I know he's Jewish. I wasn't asking him, are you really Jewish? No, I wasn't saying that.
No, because, like, if I got a tattoo when I was a teenager... Like, I would be walking around with a NoFX tattoo for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like, if I had a tattoo when I was a teenager, I'd have, like, Saved by the Bell on my back over here.
What if you got a tattoo that was, like, you know, with your religion? Like, something like, you know...
Nah.
A Star of David tattoo?
Which is, like, the opposite of what you should be doing.
Right.
Oh, man. Jewish hardcore.
Your parents would be upset with you, is what you're saying. Yes, yes.
I don't think they would be upset at this point, but it was definitely when I was younger.
I think they're more upset that he's doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so. CJ, you have a couple tattoos over there.
Yeah. Oh, there I am.
There you are.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Yeah. How many do you have? Do you know?
I don't.
I just love how he just says, I have a couple. What kind of tattoos
couple.
Do you
have?
You
have sleeves.
He has, like, cartoons all over him. Like, he's a child. It's like a kid picked out his tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a pew-pew on there.
He's got some interesting ones, though. He's got Duck Hunt. He's got the Nintendo Duck Hunt, for Christ's sake.
He's got POW on there. Yeah, he's got hearts with, like, a little bit of power left in them.
Yeah, right?
He's, like, draining of energy.
All right. Well, let's see. Are there any other news stories I was going to get to? I don't know. I don't know if this... No, that's all right. Let's skip this one. All right. Our guest today is Ian Ira Russo.
Hello.
Ian's here. He is also known as Uncle Rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, motherfuckers.
For some reason. I don't know why.
Uncle Rooster?
What is Uncle Rooster? Explain this.
My last name is Russo, and I'm an
That's
uncle.
That's it?
Yeah.
Rooster Russo. Okay. All right. Yeah. I got it. Now, do you do a crow or something like that during your comedy? I don't know.
I hate to call it not a catchphrase, but I would say cock-a-doodle-doo, motherfuckers.
You did?
Yeah. That was a brief phase, though.
It didn't last? It didn't stick?
It's 2023. There's no room in the world for catchphrases.
No? All right. So you just go by Uncle Rooster now. All right.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing stand-up?
9 years.
9 years?
Yeah.
No. Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
I
thought you were maybe like 2 years in or 2 or 3 years.
No, I started...
is that like a...
What? I started
in the Brooklyn alt scene back in 2014, and then...
All right, so you're from New York.
Yes.
New York City. Queens, is that where you're from?
I grew up on the Upper West Side.
Is that you?
Sorry.
There's Uncle Rooster. All right.
Sound effects are working today.
All right, so you grew up on the where? Upper West Side.
And then the 70s.
Okay, all right. And you started doing stand-up in New York.
Yes, Brooklyn.
Yeah, all right. And you did a lot. And when did you move to L.A.?
A year and a half later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been out here a while.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So you've been doing stand up particularly for 9 years.
Yes.
And this is you're going to be recording your first album coming up here, right?
Yep.
The first hour, is that what it is? This is the first hour you put together, right?
Yes.
That's cool. All right. Cool. And you've been doing it around town, right? For a while. Yeah. How's it been going?
Some days are better than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I'm more creatively energized than ever. I'm getting better spots than I've ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a couple weeks ago, I got to feature for Joey Medina down at the Rec Room in front of 100 people.
Joey Medina. Yeah. He was on the,
Joey.
He was on the Basshole show, the live show. All right. That's cool.
But yeah, that was, that kind of spot, that wouldn't have happened a year ago.
No. All
right. Yeah, I only started becoming half decent at this shit probably around April of last year.
Yeah. Now, are you pretty confident with this hour? Like, you've tried the material out. You know it's most of it's working, all of it's working. You're happy with it?
It's, okay, so I ran it. And the thing about this hour is that that was my first time doing an hour.
Mm.
Most of my sets are in 5 upwards of 10-minute increments. This, when I decided, yes, I'm going to go for the album recording, I was like, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to structure it as something that tells sort of a linear story. And to feel that work, to feel like the flow of it working in front of a packed room full of people who love me. Like, that was, I have something worth believing.
You have something worth believing. All right.
Yeah.
Now, you are known in the LA comedy scene for this comics list that you put out there.
Yeah.
100, what is it? 100 top comics.
Top 100 LA, 100 comics,
LA
to watch.
Comics to watch.
You made the top 20 last year?
I heard that. Now, I didn't look through the whole list, okay? But I that was last year I was on it?
Yes.
Right, I don't know, someone told me. I don't know. I didn't see it. But
I told you.
Yeah, but I was looking at this.
You were ahead of Chappelle.
I told you you're ahead of Chappelle, too.
I was looking at this year's list. Is there an archive on your website?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Archive contents.
Oh, archive contents. Okay. All right. So you put together this. This is the third year you've done it?
Yes.
Is that correct? 100 top 100 LA comics to watch. Every year you put out a list of all these comedians in LA. 100 to watch. How do you come up and how do you rank the comedians? Now, I know you are very active in the open mic scene and the comedy scene, and so you know everyone or know of everyone, I'm guessing. How do you rank your comedians on this list?
It varies. Some of them are doing really well, and others have shows they could book me on. I don't want to spoil too much on this year's list, but the top 20 were all people who bought koozies for me.
I noticed that. Yes. I was getting into that. Yes, yes. Now, Rob did not make the list. I didn't make the list either.
Keep grinding.
It's all right.
How do you feel, Rob? Are you okay?
I'll be fine.
CJ made the list.
I saw the list, and yeah, it's like you got Dave Chappelle ranked like what, 16 or
something like that.
I think
right?
He was
compared to like some other open micers.
So how does someone?
I see a lot of people on there that are like, oh, I've never seen them do well ever on stage, and I'm just like, how is this person on this list? And what is the rating?
We're not gonna go through it and name.
Yeah,
I won't. We're not gonna be that much of an asshole and pick people apart on why their number, or whatever.
Unless Ian wants to do that because you're the
one that wrote it. So if you want to point people out, then you start with that. But
there was a running gag on the list where I rank Luke Schwartz and all the door guys trying to like convince Luke Schwartz, hey, put me up on Potluck. I murdered on Potluck.
All right, so pretty much you are ranking people. Are you ranking people mainly because you're hoping that they book you on a spot and or get you into an open mic or something like that?
Partially.
Oh, yeah, is that why Josh Edelman was number one?
No,
he books a pretty good some pretty good shows. I mean, he's hilarious. He's
I love
funny
Josh.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's doing good things.
Oh yeah, so Josh Edelman's number one. That's right.
Yeah.
No, I love Josh.
The only reason why I know that was because Josh
also made a documentary.
Posted.
Yeah.
Talented guy.
No, it was actually like fantastic. Like I left. I went to the screening at the LA Comedy and Film Festival, and I was just Because I knew Josh went to film school. I know he has a background in filmmaking.
Rob also went to film school.
Yes, I sure did.
So did I. So here you are ranking yourself number 22 there on the screen there. What makes you put yourself on the list? And then you're also number 22. How does that work?
Partially to sell tickets. Also,
All right. I mean, do you like promote yourself? Do you go to people, hey, I'm ranked 22 in the top LA, and then they don't even know who made the list? They're like, you're only 22? Like,
everyone in LA knows you make the list, yeah. But like if it gets around, I mean, you know, around the rest of the country or whatever, yeah. People may not know who you are.
I do have a run of dates coming up in Tulsa, Santa Fe, and in Tucson, and the album recording itself, and all of the on all the flyers, one of the credits is top 100 LA comics to watch.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
So pretty much, I noticed that everyone purchased a koozie of yours. Your merch did make the list. I noticed that. So I guess it's almost like donation based. You can get yourself on the list.
Very much like a politician.
It's like,
and now I have T-shirts.
Oh, so if you buy a T-shirt and a koozie, does it rank you up to like a top 15 situation, maybe?
Oh, I will write a whole piece on you. Like,
that's one thing I've noticed, that like some, like going through the list, like you definitely have like chunks of things to say about certain people, and then other people, it's like funny or like. I think I do remember seeing mine at one point. It was like philosopher or something.
Was modern day philosopher.
It was like clearly you've never seen some of these people perform. I feel like how they're on the list. Just, right? Yeah,
I'm like wow when I look at that.
Now, what can Rob do to get on the list next year?
I don't want to be on the list, please. Don't put me on the list. Don't, please. I'm not going to buy a koozie.
Oh, my God.
I don't have to buy a koozie. I got you.
How long does it take you to compile this list? Now, do you start right now for next year's list? Are you already having taking notes?
I'm waiting.
Are you going to clubs and sitting in the back and taking notes on people? Are you like a scout for this list? Would you say
Reed isn't around, I'll sit in her seat and I'll just take notes. Yeah, this top 100 LA comics.
No, but seriously, potential. Do you have like, do you look at last year's list and be like, look, there's a lot of the same people probably on the list. I don't know. Like, How many of the same people make the list every year?
Well, Josh was at 100 the year before. I did research for this thing, but all right. It was Josh Edelman was like, and then I only know that too because Josh posted it. But he was 100,
and then he made it
started from the bottom. Now I'm here, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. I don't know what number I was, but or last year's list. But now I'm not on the list anymore.
My mom was upset that I wasn't on the list. I guess she watches the list, and she's just like,
I guess I fucked up majorly this year in comedy. I guess because I got kicked off the list.
It was a competitive year.
So why did I not make this year's list, but I made last year's list? Is there a reason?
It was a competitive year. I had a lot of people to work in.
Wow, you're really a politician. That's definitely a politician answer.
Now, the first year, though, the first top 100 list took me about 2 hours to make. I didn't put in...
Right, you made it night before it was released? Is that what you're saying?
It was riddled with typos, and I uploaded it right away.
All
right,
so there was you didn't really take your time with it.
Second year, there was a bit of a story arc to it. Okay. And
but now you're getting more attention for your list, so you might want to put some thought into it or time into creating it, right?
Get more heavy hitters that could do me favors.
Yeah. Now, has Dave Chappelle reached out about making the list?
Well, he actually talked about it on his last special. He talked about the fact that he was on the list. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Why do you pepper in, I mean, obviously some of the big name comics? Like, are you hoping that they see the list and are like, hey, well, this is nice?
No, like Argus Hamilton doing good things.
Right. But why is Dave Chappelle like number whatever? Like over like why isn't he number one?
He did a couple maybe 2 weeks before I dropped the second list, he did a drop in at Lab Work.
Yes. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he's dropping in there occasionally. Yeah.
That's in his IMDb now. So yeah, he's on the list.
Along with Half Baked and You've Got Mail.
Oh my God. You also have an honorable mention section, which there's a lot of people's names are there, but they didn't get a photo.
Yeah.
They didn't get a picture, all that stuff. I think we have someone calling in here. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can get this to work.
The honorable mentions this year, it was like anybody who was like bummed they didn't make the list. It's like, fine, I'll edit it. I'll give you an honorable mention. Last year, I was working a temp job where I had nothing to do. I was sitting at a front desk all day, and it was like, all right, I have all this free time. I'm going to go through every flyer in LA and add every comic I could find and put.
You just literally, okay, all right. So
between the honorable mentions and the top 100, there was over 1,000 comics on.
So you're never judging people by their performance or how much laughs they're getting or how well they're doing.
I don't judge comics.
Well, here's the thing. Brian Patrick Moses, the bartender at the Improv, he made the honorable mentions.
Yes, he did. I saw that.
Yeah, he was bummed about that.
I love him. But, I mean, yeah, maybe he's got some quick remarks coming from behind the bar. I don't know.
He made
you bartend at one of the clubs and just get an honorable mention.
He was number 6 on last year's list.
He actually made a top. He was number 6. Yeah. He made top 10. Wow, yeah. Good for Moses.
I'm still surprised. Yeah, he's doing good things.
Yeah, CJ's on the list. So. We do have a caller calling in that's listening live. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello, this is Rose.
Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
You okay?
Hello.
All right. Go ahead, Rose.
I have a hair fall.
What is your deal, Rose? What's going on?
I want to talk to this Ian guy. Ian, whatever his fucking name is.
Ian.
Because I don't really like the fact that I bought a cozy and I'm a comic and I don't make his fucking list.
You're a comedian?
I am.
All right. So you didn't make the list either?
I didn't make the list. I think he is.
How long have you been doing comedy, Rose?
You just made the list.
How long have you been doing comedy, Rose?
You just made the list.
Very specific sound effect.
2 weeks.
2 weeks you've been doing stand-up and you didn't make the list. All right. So here's a stand-up comedian named Rose who's been doing stand-up for 2 weeks. In L.A.? You're in L.A.?
I'm in L.A. I moved from New York.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I moved from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay? I am disabled.
Okay.
Oh, wow. You should make the list.
Because I had a couple hip replacements. Oh. I was a worker's comp, and then I have a disability. But I'm using comedy to heal. And I'm out here for 2 weeks watching my half hip.
Half hip comedy? All right, so you're saying you put the work in and you did not make the list. 2 weeks of work you put into stand-up and you're not on the list. All right. Ian, why didn't Rose make the list?
I haven't sold a koozie to a comic in the past 2 weeks.
Oh. I know. This lady's calling in right now. The list came out like a month ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, Rose, I think...
I'm from New York, too.
Oh, so maybe you guys know each other. You're from New York, no? All right, so Rose, you're going to have to put more work in this coming year to try to make this list, I guess.
2 weeks. I'm sure she's funnier than most of the comics on the list.
Did you hear that? You just got a compliment. You got a compliment. He said that you're probably funnier than most of the comics on the list.
Well,
thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Is he single?
Are you single?
There's a new lady who's sort of wandered into my life.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, Ian might be taken.
Up in my place. Yeah.
Ian might be taking Rose, so I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work out.
You know what, then? Ian, you can go scratch.
All right.
Go scratch.
Go scratch. Okay. All right.
All right. All right. All right. Well, thank you, Rose, for calling in. Good luck with your stand-up and that cough. Okay. Do something about that cough. I hope you make it to... I hope you live long enough to maybe get on the list next year. I hope
it's not COVID.
I don't know. All right. Goodbye, Rose. Thank you.
That was a very legit call.
Is there somebody in the bathroom?
This whole show is legit, Rob, first of all.
But she was like playing such a character.
Everyone's a character.
And like she was
why can't you just believe in the show,
Rob? I was
Rob?
Believing
just
in it. Okay. She was real.
Rob shows up here late. We had to hold production for him.
Oh,
Rob comes in here and he's like, did you cook food? Did you cook food for me?
Last week,
on last week's show, him and Rachel asked if I was cooking before the show. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. We just thought, man. It's like a form of payment.
You know, you had some whiskey as a form of payment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So maybe she'll make the list next year. I don't know. So you're already scouting. That's good to hear.
I'm always scouting.
You're always scouting. All right. So you know, here's...
I can't believe I wasn't on the list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I have before... You, have
you seen, I got you.
Have you seen Rob's comedy?
I'm on Avails at the Laugh Factory.
He's
I
a regular.
I perform it. I get my Avails at the Improv.
But have you done Fourth Wall?
I have not done Fourth Wall.
That's where I do the majority of my scouting.
Oh, yeah. All right. You hear that, everyone? So if you want to get scouted for next year's list, go to Fourth Wall.
But Fourth Wall, you got to pay, right? You
gotta
pay,
yeah.
I don't know.
I've been trying to avoid those type of open mics. Third wheel, I like because you don't pay.
I started making a list of my own. I started making 100 things if I had Ian Iorusso's free time. Number 100, wipe my ass properly. 99, floss. 98, go see Ian's show. No, I'm kidding.
Wow. Burn. What an asshole.
I only did 3 because that's the only time I had. So see, you're way ahead of me already. I'm just joking. All right. So you were on Gary Cannon's podcast. No, Gary Cannon was on your podcast.
Yes. Earl Skakel.
Yes, yes. So you also have a podcast called the Ian Iorusso Show. How long have you been doing your podcast?
I was doing it consistently for about 3 months, and then my Rodecaster broke mid-flight, and it took...
It broke?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The screen got smashed.
Oh, you took it with you traveling?
Yeah, it was in New York.
Did you get a case for it, or how did you...
Yeah, yeah, it was a soft case.
And it just broke.
Yeah.
Wow. What does that mean in podcast terms?
That means that this board that we're using here...
Oh, yeah, man.
This board broke. Yeah. And you just got it, right? Isn't it under warranty or something?
Yeah, it is. I did get it replaced about... I got the certificate to replace it about 2 months later, got it replaced, I've just been on overdrive seeking out stage time wherever I can because, keeping an hour of material polished in 5-minute increments is...
Mm-hmm. So,
that's almost
a challenge. So your podcast is on hiatus,
though, right? Like, are you not getting 20-minute spots? Because I get 20-minute spots, but I'm not on the list. But I get, like, you know, usually 20-minute spots. So if I could do, like, 3 20-minute spots, that's an hour. But getting an hour together...
It's a without, lot of work.
Yeah. Like, because the lulls are like the hardest part about stand up is like when a room gets quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. and how's that going right now? Because you're just doing 5 minutes at a time
in front of comics.
But you're doing mainly in LA. Horrible. But you have gone. You have done shows on the road a little
bit,
right?
Yes, a little bit.
So how much time are you doing when you like? What cities have you gone to outside of LA as far as
Tucson? I've featured, done 20 minutes out there.
All right, so you've been doing like 20 minutes,
yeah.
when you're outside of the LA vicinity. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I did 20 minutes down at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, that's out of town. Like even Pasadena, I consider Pasadena out of town because it's away from Los Angeles. You got a different crowd out there.
Right.
Anywhere like just outside of Hollywood is like a just
45 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
It is a very saturated market in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's awful.
The thing is, like at the Improv, most comics, even headliner comics, they don't want to have a weekend there sometimes because that's why you don't see a lot of people do weekends there because the crowds are just so Hollywood.
They're Hollywood. Know. It's like they want to do those shows, you know, Monday through Thursday.
You can't sell merch.
Can't sell merch.
No, yeah, like,
have you been having luck selling your koozies at LA shows at all? I mean, besides other comics buying them to get on the list?
I've had, if I leave LA, even down in Long Beach, I did a mic down in Long Beach a couple months ago and I had the koozies on me and I was running a very stupid merch pitch at the time. That
crowing and stuff, Uncle Rooster.
Yeah, you want to be on my 100 top list? Who wants to party with Uncle Rooster?
Oh yeah, wait, I do remember.
I got koozies for sale.
I do remember you doing that at a mic. Like, who wants to party with Uncle Rooster? At the Improv mic, you did that. Oh, who wants to party with Uncle Rooster? And everyone's just like, what?
Rita was probably behind her laptop, being like, "Oh Jesus, fucking Christ, Ian."
It's just like, it's a little creepy.
Uncle Rooster.
Uncle Rooster. That's the uncle that you don't want to be left with.
Liam McEnany said that on my podcast. He sounds like he diddles kids.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you are selling merch on the road. Now, what are you selling these koozies for on the road? How much they cost?
Five.
How much are they going to set you back? $5?
Yeah.
All right, that's not bad.
Yeah, and Michael Evans just made me t-shirts.
Nice.
What's it say on the?
Yeah, what does it say?
Could just, you have a?
Are you wearing it?
I wish I am.
This fucking guy. Come on.
He's not wearing it.
Last night I saw the Ergs and great band. But that's, the shirt just says sorry again. And on the back it just says sorry again, sorry again, sorry again, sorry again, sorry again. Sorry, and in quotes, Ian Ira Russo.
Well, at least you're being polite and you're apologizing before people see the show.
That's the number one thing about cancel culture. You never say sorry.
And then you'll say sorry again.
Now,
are you okay? So you're doing this show. How have you've been doing it here in LA, right, for a little while? Like now, it's been selling out. Or are you been selling tickets? How have the crowds been? Like, who's going to your show?
Very, very.
How are you getting people there?
Half comics, half mostly friends.
Half seat fillers.
Okay. There was like last time there was one stranger in the audience and
someone you didn't know. One person you didn't know.
Yep.
And who was that?
A friend of
showed up. All right, that dragged him there. Okay,
but no, but it was loved what I was doing, and this time around, I'm running it this Friday at the Glendale Room.
All right,
and
where's the Glendale Room in Glendale? Obviously, yes, but where's
it's on Artsock Street, like right behind the Glendale Galleria.
That's right where that's right where we used to do Gauchos back.
Oh yeah. Oh, so is this is this an open mic as well?
Yeah, this is, they do have mics there on Sundays and Wednesdays.
So this live taping that you're doing, you have a whole, like, cameras. Like,
yeah, are you doing video? Like, are you cameras? Sure?
Just locked in the audio. I'm still deciding whether or not I even want to bother hiring a camera crew because I'm not releasing it as a special.
Now, why wouldn't you film it for video if you're going through all this trouble to record it?
Because, couple reasons. I don't think I have quite the stage chops quite yet to pull off a special.
But really?
Yeah.
I think you're number 22. What the fuck? Are you serious?
But also just the sheer fact, there are so many comics self-releasing specials
You don't want to be one of those?
I don't want to disparage their efforts, but they are not good most of the time. It doesn't have the same soul. And it's to the point where they're not... They're releasing these specials, and they're not special.
They're not special.
Yeah.
You're saying that you don't want to film yours because yours is not going to be special enough either? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all.
You're really selling this.
Part of the equation, I would like to do a pressing of this on vinyl.
Right.
And the idea of somebody reading the liner notes, essentially a journal entry of my life, that is more special to me than anything that even Netflix could fund.
So you want people to listen to this on vinyl at some point?
Spotify, vinyl, to get some distributors.
You mean an actual record? Is that what you're talking about? Vinyl? Yeah. Like someone's going to buy a 45 and break out their player to listen to this?
Friend.
12-inch. Like they did when Steve Martin was releasing it on record?
Yeah, well, I'm going to release my album on 8-track. So so only people with 8-track can listen to it. I
think that's a waste of money.
And then I'm going to go put it on beta.
Vinyl?
The market is there for it.
All right. I mean, I don't know about for Sorry Again
and on
vinyl, but what about laser? I'm really sorry laser disc?
To tell you, don't do it. You're going to be spending way too much money on vinyl. Like, maybe just to have one for yourself.
Yeah, but you just make the cover. You don't really need
to try to sell them to people. Like, you're just going to be like that would just give me like if you're my like close friend and you like buy this and I'm like how am I going to even listen?
Have a record player.
But particularly in like the punk and the indie scene, like. Where there is a market for comedy in that, like guys like Kyle Kinane, Chris Gethard.
Yeah.
Like, those are
people that are like I've known Kyle. Like, that's just high up there.
Yeah,
you know?
They have way bigger audiences.
Yeah, way bigger audiences. And they will have people. Like, you got like Nick Swartz and Bert Kreischer, whatever. You know, they want to sell like an album like that. People will buy that just for... But like your album, it's like, I don't know. I'm just saying like, don't do that to yourself and actually just put it on digital and on YouTube.
I think you should absolutely film with video if you're doing this.
I do have one guy's coming in with a camera just for the sake of clips.
You should have two cameras, I think, at least. But like, it's going to sell out in New York. That's where you're from. All your friends, family from back there are going to go
tickets
see
it. Are still selling.
All right. They're still selling. But you should film it. Why not?
Yeah.
You're you know,
I'm filming it for no other reason. Like, I'm not thinking about the career advancements right now. That aspect that's irrelevant to me.
Sure, but here's the thing. I don't know if this is going to be any good. This could be horrible. But I'm just saying.
It could very well be.
I'm going to say that you're doing it, at least. Yeah. You are doing it, right? I mean, give him that, at least. I don't know. You're putting it out there.
But, like, I could potentially be sitting on millions of views worth of clips when all is said and done. Yeah.
Or one, you know.
Yeah, one view.
One view. Like this podcast.
I don't know about you, but like, since you're doing things in increments and you're doing like 20-minute spots, why not just like record those 20-minute spots and then do like the 20 minutes there and then do another 20 minutes there and then put it together to release the album? Or I don't know. I'm just saying ideas. It's like, because you're not really selling it too, you know?
The album does work as a complete package. It just tells like kind of like a linear story about doing comedy over the past couple years and just all of like the crazy dates that I've been on, all the stupid shit I've done.
Would you put this more in the one man show kind of thing, or like true stand up?
I wish I did, because if I called it a one man show, I'd probably selling tickets way faster.
All right. Yeah. Well, then maybe rebrand it. I don't know. Yeah. So are you doing a lot of stories, like longer stories and stuff like that? Okay.
Just stories. Like simple, like ranging from simple stuff to the time two friends called me on the phone and asked me to help them move in with their girlfriends.
All right, will these friends be at the show?
Yeah, one of them.
Is there
will
anyone
be Friday,
that's coming to the show that's gonna be like, how the fuck did I end up in this?
Dude, one of my friends from New York. I have a story of us getting on city bikes for what was my first time. We grabbed dinner, and just like the absurdity of city bikes and just falling in love with the city of New York, just like this perfect New York moment where like I'm pulling my bike from the station from the terminal as a lady is docking hers. And I tell my friend 20s me would punch 30s me in the face if he saw me on a city bike.
Oh my God.
And, she chimes in, yeah, these things are bullshit. And my friend who happened to be at the first run of the hour because he just moved to LA, he was like, oh yeah, I was there for that.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Now, are people coming?
Wait, is this part of the stand-up right now? Is this the story
part of it? I'm not selling it. Well, you're
not. Well, he's not doing. He's not going to do his A material on this podcast because you know people get it for free.
Are you nervous?
Are some people coming to the show as like community service requirements or something? Or no.
There were a couple of people who went last time just because they were curious.
They were curious to see like what you're doing or what it is. What it is, yeah.
Exactly. Like right. Seth and Sarah Lawrence, they were just like shocked. I'm honestly curious. Shit, he has a good hour.
I'm honestly curious. I should have went to it before this podcast, but you know what? I don't have time. But you're doing it this Friday. What was I going to say? I heard that you once rigged the open mic bucket at Flappers.
Yes, that was a potential Basshole story.
Now, did you get banned from Flappers for doing this?
How did you hear about this?
I read about it on the website.
Oh my god!
Now, I don't know if this is your Basshole story that you came in with, but I did read about it and I heard about it and I was like, wow, the balls on this guy. So you rigged the open mic bucket mic at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Now, You wrote in your name. You brought your own tickets and you wrote your name and threw them in. Is that what happened?
I took one of. So basically, I was going to the Yoo-Hoo Room mic, which at the time was packed and it was hard to get up. And at one night, I was just like, "Fuck this!" And I bought. I got a. I took the ticket. It was an Office Depot ticket. I got a roll of the same ticket.
It was the same ones. All
right. And basically what happened was it started out, I would write my name 3 times, put it in the bucket, 4 times, 7 times, and I would go on stage with the attitude, like, I looked at the host like, eh, what are you going to do? And then one night...
And then they pick it out 5 times? Is that what it is?
One night I put my name in the bucket 25 times.
Come on. 25 times? There's probably not even that many people there in the Yoo-Hoo Room.
Back then, there was a lot. Dude, there was a stretch where the Yoo-Hoo Room on Fridays and Saturdays, that was the hottest open mic in LA.
Yeah.
It easily rivaled what was going on in the lab.
Interesting. But I think I went to that once, the Yoo-Hoo
Room. But I get pulled first. Somebody else is on deck.
Right.
I go to the host, Molly Kaufman, terrific person. I walk up to her. I whisper in her ear, I'm so sorry.
Again.
Yeah, sorry again. And I just left. And she kept pulling my name repeatedly after I left. And then Will, the GM, he approached me.
The GM.
Yeah.
All right, so they approach you after they pull your name several times. They realize it's a rigged bucket now from Ian Russo.
But he was just like, yeah, could you stop doing that?
So did they kick you out, or what did they do?
They were like, yeah, you're banned for 2 weeks. I didn't make this decision. 2 weeks? Like, I completely understand.
That's it.
I'm surprised you didn't get banned for life.
Yeah. It was, like, was funny at the time, and still now it's kind of funny. But it was still a real dick thing to do.
Now, would you...
I don't find it funny at all. Because I just picture, like... Because I've been in, like, the improv open mic. And
Would you ever do that at, like, the improv?
Oh, mic? God, no.
No. You treat flappers as, like, a piece of shit, which a lot of people do. But
And I think flappers get too much...
I'm not saying anything.
People give flappers too much shit. I think it's a good club. They have great food.
It's a great club. And I love when they book you and then they say, like, you get $0 at signing this contract.
Yeah, you have to sign a contract to show up to perform
for nothing.
It's like, W-2 for $0.
And then they get a ticket and it's like, I think now, I don't even think, you still get a drink? I don't know. I haven't performed in such a long time.
It depends. Do you remember the
pizza spot?
The pizza spot?
Oh, yeah. If you
had a good spot on one of their mics, somebody won.
Nah, I didn't go to open mic that much, no.
Yeah. All right, well, that is definitely an asshole story. But this is the I'm a Basshole show, Ian Russo, and you are on the show. So when guests are here, they come on with a story about a time in their life that they were an a-hole. It can be an isolated incident. It can be maybe you're an asshole right now. Maybe you were one in the past. Anything along those lines that you'd like to share with us today?
There's one that I'm sort of uncomfortable doing on a podcast, but I guess I'll dive into it.
All right.
Yeah, like, I don't want to name names, but...
You're
going to know who it is right away, too.
I might not. I don't really know that many people.
Was it because you were eating a burrito and you kind of ignored me when I said hello?
Is it that story? All right, go ahead. Let Ian tell a story. Go ahead.
It was 2021, me and another comic, we had the idea... It was really her idea, but to fake a relationship on Facebook.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I think I do remember this.
Yes.
All right. Yes, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Terrific person. She works very hard. I don't want to give her.
No, I won't say
bullshit
names or anything. But she's great.
Why can't we say her name?
I don't know. That's up to Ian. I'm not going to say it.
I don't know how many listeners this gets, and I don't want anybody.
We're
like
around. We've actually averaging like 4 to 0.
We've actually lost listeners for this episode. But
once with this, all this inside baseball.
Yes, so stand-up comedian, female. You faked a relationship on social media.
Yeah,
but how is that an asshole? Like,
why did you guys do that, or why did you do that? I don't know. Was she in on it, or was it?
She must have been in on it.
I'm trying to remember how this exactly started. I know it might have.
He's an asshole because she wasn't in on it.
What?
He's an asshole because she wasn't in.
She
on
wasn't
it.
In on it. All
right. I know. I feel like around the time, I'm just trying to remember what was going on. Like, it was, God, all year and a half ago. But, she treated it as, like, a PR relationship, and me...
PR?
Yeah, kind of like...
I'm going out with a guy that makes a list of 100 comics. What?
Did you guys think it was going to, like, go viral and blow up or something?
This is not an asshole story, though. What is it, asshole?
It gets, all right, hold on. He's still telling. Right. Let him have a minute.
Storytelling.
Give him a minute, for Christ's sakes. Jesus.
All right, man.
But, yeah, her idea was like supposed to be like a PR thing. We just update the status and we don't talk about it. But me, I really like committed to it.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point, maybe a couple weeks later, I was like, it would be funny if we faked a pregnancy.
Oh.
And at the time she thought it was funny. And then I uploaded a sonogram. It's a boy.
Oh wow!
So
you're faking that you're telling everyone that you're fucking and you're having a baby.
But the asshole part of this story is that people thought it was real, and I thought it was hilarious. So for a while, I kept doing it, and
I'm going to go back to my 100 things if I had Ian Russo's free time. I just don't understand.
I don't understand why that's an asshole story. It's somewhat, I think, are you just really entrenched into the LA community of comedians, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, definitely, it was an inside
baseball type of thing too. Like if people are listening that you're not into comics or whatever and the comedians, it's a very tight group. And it's like, and that's what happened. It started a fire within the group.
Kind of.
People had questions.
There are people who did not think it was fake and were like walking up to her, like, "I heard you're pregnant. I've heard you're having a baby with Ian."
Wow.
And who is this? Can we just say the name? Who cares? No one really cares.
That's up to Ian. I'm not.
Yeah, well, after the podcast, maybe.
Okay.
All right. So it's already a shitty story with.
No.
We can't say who it is. Ian doesn't want to say who it is. All right. So you faked a relationship that no one gave a shit about.
But she did address her concerns.
Did you end it publicly, like saying we're now broken up or whatever?
No, it was all a joke.
Yeah,
didn't get to that point because we stopped speaking to each other before.
You guys don't speak now?
Nah.
Oh.
Also, this started a fight.
We've always had a turbulent friendship, but
all right. So it started a fight between you and her, and now you guys really don't speak anymore.
Yeah.
Was it because of this fake thing, pretty much?
That was a major factor.
Wow. So you guys fake killed the baby?
So you fake abortion?
A fake abortion after I announced that the baby was born, a 24-pound baby. Instead of actually dating in real life,
you faked a dating relationship, and it actually ruined both of your friendships. So it's kind of like you actually did have a dating relationship and broke up.
I don't even know.
This is so fucking weird. First of all, when you get
approached by the GM at the improv saying, "I heard you're pregnant," don't get me wrong, that's hilarious objectively. But that's probably a sign that, yes, this gag is probably getting out of hand.
Right. All right. Well, you know what?
I mean, if I was her, I'd be fucking drinking. I mean, I'm pregnant. Who gives a shit?
That's actually what happened. Like, the bartender was serving her, and, the GM was like, should she be drinking right now?
Oh, my God. Did you say how many months along you guys were?
It wasn't very well thought out. And it was a very rushed gag.
You didn't get any baby gifts and all that stuff.
Nah.
All right.
There was no baby shower.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's your asshole story. I don't think that's an asshole story. It's a weird fucking story. I'll tell you that.
That's a Tuesday for me.
Have you done anything really that deserves, people were like, you know, this guy Ian, real asshole. Like, real fucking asshole. Like, growing up, like, I don't know, young adult life, anything, like, that you're ashamed of that you want to talk about.
Anything I'm ashamed of?
Something that you did. No, I always find it funny because in L.A., like, I've been doing comedy for a long time. And
oh, really? I didn't see you on the list.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm never on the list. I'm in the top 5,000 comics. That's where I am. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm like 4,000 something, but whatever. Who's counting?
It's all right.
5,000 comics in Los Angeles. But I just find it funny because it's like in LA, I said I saw you before, like, and I've met you, like, we've like talked. I think you said like good set one time at the improv when I did the open mic or whatever. I think Fanto was like hosting or whatever. And even today, right now, like, I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And you're like, "Oh, what's your name again?" It's like,
dude, there are too many fucking comics in LA. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. If you're not on his list, he doesn't know who you are.
But it's always funny to me because
I had to remind him who I was because I wasn't on this year's list.
Yeah. So many comics are like that.
I'm on. Yeah, exactly.
Who was it? Someone I saw recently, and then they apologized because it's just like, I'm like, yeah. They're like, "Oh, Rob." And it was at Third Wheel, too. You weren't there that night, but it was someone else. Oh, Leah Mansfield. And I know her. I've met her so many times, but it's like, I guess she just has bad eyesight because then she came up to me later on. I'm like, yeah, I just said hi to you. Like, I don't know. I always find it funny in the LA community. It's like, so, people, like, there's a hierarchy, and people don't want to say hi to other people or this and that. And
unless you have something to offer them.
Exactly. Right? Or unless you buy a koozie off of them and you're on the list.
It's funny to me how there are cliques that surround open mics.
Oh, yeah. This is very, like, very cliquey. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's creatively stifling at times when you're trying to develop art and ideas. Like,
because you're performing in front of the same assholes all the time, and everyone's just laughing. Everyone's like
an asshole.
Yeah, but everyone's going to be laughing at your jokes or whatever. And then you're
if you're in their clique, man.
Yeah, and then you're in the background, and I'm just sitting there going, like, wow, that person's just laughing because they're friends.
They're friends.
He's laughing because they're bombing really hard or whatever. Because that's always funny.
Making fun of someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
But
I saw that last time I went to Comedy Story. It was like, they're your friends. That's why you're laughing so hard. It was so stretched.
So in Ian's show,
all his friends will be at the show, so they'll be laughing, right? Except for that one stranger that comes.
No, yeah. He actually enjoyed what I'm doing, and this was his one note.
What is it? He gave you a note?
Yeah.
The stranger?
He's on no stories.
He was like, I probably would have had 2 hours if I just talked slower.
Oh, then you can stretch it out, baby. Yeah. There you go. Now you got two albums.
One you can put on vinyl.
Sorry and sorry again.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying. There should have been the first one. You should make a prequel.
Volume two.
Your prequel, sorry, and then sorry again. I'm really sorry.
So Ian, you don't really have an asshole story. I'm going to call you out.
No, that is an asshole story.
Nah.
First of all, the two of you were in on it together. So it's like.
Another part of the story that I forgot.
It's a quick one. Like, we were backstage at West Side Comedy Theater, and we spoke for the first time in months, and kind of rude and condescending.
Since you guys lost the baby?
Yeah, since we lost the fake baby.
Right.
But kind of rude to me at the time, and I just responded to it, like, saying, hey, we're having another baby. And she lost her shit, and justifiably.
God. All right. Well, do you guys think there's any?
That was not an.
Can you save this friendship?
You lost
at all?
A friendship over like
over a fake baby.
Over a fake baby.
Fake baby, and it's like something that she agreed upon.
It's an inside joke.
Initially, but you also said, is it okay if I take it further? And then she just went along with it.
Yeah. No, she did express her concerns.
You got to have one more quick story. You must have done something growing up that you were fucking ashamed of. Like some asshole move, some asshole thing in school, college. I don't know you really, but like there's got to be something.
Trying to think. Most people know me as a good guy.
You know?
Oh, my God.
No! I hate when people do that. There's somebody like came on the show. It's like I have to say because it's like Vinny Fastline, Richard Chasler.
Here we go.
You know, but people here come on go. The show and then they're just like, they're like, I'm a nice guy. Yeah, and it's like, nice guy, yeah. You know what the name of the show is.
I know.
You know what the name of it is. It's called Asshole. It's Asshole Stories.
Asshole Stories, yes. All right, so.
But I am wrong in that story. She expressed her concerns. That story is over.
That story is done.
And if she hears this, I want her to know that I am sorry.
All right. Well, if anything, maybe we've salvaged a friendship for Ian. And
probably not.
Look, lady, I don't know who you are.
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady, you're distraught. Look at this man. He's like, please. Yeah, he's thinking this is an asshole story.
He really wants your friendship back. I'm sorry.
And I think that you guys, I don't even know. Do I know this person? Do you know if I know this
person?
I
don't know if you know the person. I know her, but I don't know.
You don't know if I know her?
I don't know.
Wow. Maybe she should come on the podcast.
Yeah. We'll have her on. We'll have her on and we'll discuss maybe we'll have you both on. Ooh, that could be a good
and
episode,
then the maybe. Fake romance would start
and then,
start again.
Then you guys really will have a baby.
He said now you're an asshole.
All right, Ian, I think there is something inside you that is true asshole, but you don't want to reveal it today on the show for some reason. I don't know.
That is story. Asshole story was more your name in the bucket.
Here's the thing. If I booked you on the live show that we do at the Hollywood Improv, the next one is April 18th at 7:30 p.m. By the way, get your tickets now on sale. If I booked you on that show and you did that story in front of a real paying crowd, I mean, that would not, they'd be like, I don't know. It would not go well.
I think the I think the problem is that a lot of people come on the show and they don't. I like Kareem Matthews, another person. I like.
Yeah,
that
came Kareem's on the show, great, but he didn't have a story either.
Yeah, though. He's just like, yeah, well, I'm just a nice guy, and it's like, and I get it, he is a nice guy, and but I. There's no situation with a girl. Like, that's where you got to go with
it. I have a couple of those.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
If you have a quick one, say it now. That's what happened with because we're running out of time.
I have one story. I'll give you the short version, I suppose. Like, I don't want to talk about it because it's related to a bit.
An abortion?
Not an abortion.
It's related to what?
It's related to a bit that's definitely an important part of the hour. And,
Look, no one. Yeah, look, here's the thing. Anyone listening to this show is not going to your hour. So
yeah, they don't even come to my hour. So don't even worry about it.
So it's safe. Go ahead.
I think the worst thing that I have done since starting, since doing comedy, which again, overall, good guy.
Yes, we know that.
There was a comic many years ago who just moved to LA, and we did not get along. She wasn't very nice to me, and I found myself in a situation where I was attracted to her.
Because she hated you so much?
Yeah.
That's a George Costanza thing.
All right.
But I started running a bit on stage that went something along the lines of, I have a crush on a comedian. She's the worst. As a comic and a person, you ever like someone who sucks personally and professionally? And she liked the joke, and for the first time she was nice to me, and I just kept doing the joke over and over again. And that was causing a lot of, everybody, wanted to know who this comic was. Mm-hmm. And it just imploded in a crazy way.
How?
I confided the wrong person who told all of her weird clicky friends.
Dude, you need to get out of this clicky shit.
Yeah,
you're an adult, dude.
But the way this story sort of ends, which I
yes, please make it end.
Yeah. During the lockdown, she offered to cut my hair in a parking lot and told me I should give a lock of my hair to my crush. She cut my hair, and I tried giving it to her, and she ran off. And
As she should,
yeah. Which is an objectively funny story. But that whole clique, that whole gossip mill, they went out of their way to make the situation so much worse. 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, I was told
over a joke. Though
here's the thing. All right, let's just stop for a minute.
She was put in a situation that was very uncomfortable.
All right.
2 weeks later, I was gaslit into asking her out to coffee while she had moved far outside of LA, and she shouldn't have been in that situation. And the only reason I'm doing this bit for the hour is because I feel like I would be conceding to all of the bullying and gaslighting that took place towards me. And now this is a bit.
Now it's a bit in your
head. Now it's a good bit.
Now it's a good bit.
And it's a bit that I'm proud of. And I express all that all in
right,
a way.
All right. Look, I think you got to come up. Look,
but
I here's the thing. I don't think you have any stories really prepared for the show.
I'm sorry that happened to you. Telling you, with the comic scene, one thing I've learned from doing comedy for a long time, which is not much because I'm not fucking famous or whatever. I'm not even on the list. No. But when you got to stay away from those cliques.
Absolutely.
You should be friends with people, but keep them in an arm's distance. And it's involved in that because I got involved in shit like that when I first started. And it just led to nowhere.
And then
trauma that you have to deal with. And then you got to see these people out and about. And it's always just, I don't know. I just try to be friendly to people. And then just, I try not to be a dick.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really work for Ross. That's the way.
I think that's,
so don't listen to
that, that's the thing that I learned from the lockdowns. Because a lot of people in this clique who, the woman who I confided about who the crush bit was about,
mm-hmm.
she like she was in a position of power, and a lot of people gravitated towards her because of it. And when she ended up not getting her job back that gave her that power, one by one, all of those comics, almost all of those comics ended up quitting. And it was kind of, right. I took the right bet by staying away from that clique.
All right, here's the thing. All right, I think you need to find some stories that are not involved with comedians comedy. Or comedy, you know, like who the real Ian Russo is growing up. You know, I don't know anything about that, but like, I do think there's another side to you outside of this open mic comedy, you know, comedy shows, comedians,
yeah.
Fake scams, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Just as a person, you know, I mean, there's a person behind this microphone here, not just Ian, the comedian that does weird shit with other comics.
Not weird shit, but...
But yeah, it is weird. Like, faking a relationship and a baby. Come on.
Her idea, but...
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, who fucking cares?
Who cares? Like, I want to hear about, like, the Ian growing up. Like you know, like, what asshole kid, you know, you were growing up. Or, like, there's something you got into trouble doing something. I don't know what it is. We don't really have time for it now, but... You know, I want you to think about that, you know, as a person, and maybe come back next year when the new list comes out and Rob is still on it.
I won't be on
it. I got you, man.
I'm 5,000. No, and I know what you're going to write. You're going to write, yes, I put you on the list if I do get on the list.
See? I kept my word.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I know.
All right. Well, look. Ian, I want to buy a koozie from you. That's the least I can do. I can say that. Can I buy that on your website? Is that how we do that?
Oh, I got you. I got him in my car.
Got them. He's selling merch at the podcast.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, you guys want koozies.
All right, I appreciate that. All right. oh my God. All right. Well, there's Ian Russo, Ian Ira Russo. Sorry again. The road to the album recording. He is going to be this Wednesday at the Glendale Room in Glendale.
How much time are you doing in Glendale?
That is, Friday, March 24th.
Is that the wrong information there?
Yeah, what? Okay.
Dude, my mom messaged me about this. She's like, when's Ian Ira Russo performing?
It is Friday the 24th, and yeah, also...
And then you're going to Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Yeah, I'm in Tucson on Thursday, March 30th. Santa Fe on March 31st.
All right.
And then Tulsa.
And then leading up to the album recording in New York City, April 23rd, right?
Yes.
So where can people get their tickets for that if they haven't gotten them yet?
www.ianirarusso.com or www.qedastoria.com.
All right. Well, make sure you get your tickets. Make sure you follow Ian Russo. And support his podcast. Do whatever you can to help this guy out. All right. Rob, do you have anything else to say to Ian? I mean, I know he wasn't really an asshole. Like, I'm disappointed with the asshole story.
I got a show tonight at the Kibitz Room. That's at 9 o'clock. So I don't know if this is live and someone's around. They're not going to make it.
Anyone, please come down.
I'm in the top 5,000 comics in Los Angeles. I just want you guys to know.
Yeah.
That you are.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. Thanks, Ian, for coming on the show.
Oh, wait. Try to be more of an asshole. Improv.
All right, 28. Enough for your shit. It's not all about you. We're talking about Ian.
I'm doing 15 minutes there.
All right. Rob is recording his album at the Ontario. Yeah, Rob, where's your album recording?
I wish I had the fucking balls to just do it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. All right. Look, as much as we poke fun of Ian and everything, he's a great guy. You do have the confidence, at least I'll give you that. You are putting out an album. Good for you.
Putting yourself out there.
Good for you. Yeah. Hell yeah. Good for you. Good luck with it. Seriously. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Good luck with that.
And thanks for coming on the show.
I hope it's a great album recording. And good luck on Wednesday. Break a leg on Wednesday. How much time are you doing on Wednesday?
Friday. Yeah, that flyer was wrong. It's Friday, March 24th.
I know, but how much time are you doing?
Doing the whole hour.
You're doing the whole hour? Oh, shit.
Rob and I will be there Friday to watch it.
Oh, man. If I'm not booked anywhere else, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, no, maybe we'll go, yeah. All right, guys. That is our show for today. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @BassholeShow. The YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can find the whole video there. You can find clips there. We are back at the Hollywood Improv with the live I'm a Basshole show on April 18th at 7:30 p.m. You can grab tickets at bassholeshow.com right now. We got a great lineup that'll be announced shortly. And remember, guys, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. Ciao.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.